Well, it's good to be in Family Church Mayville. We were in Corey last night, Mayville, and I tell you, I'm so excited. This is one of the highlights of my year, to be here, be in this church, to minister to you. And of course, starting tonight, we'll have some of the other family churches come. And just let's just believe God to get in the cookie jar.
Amen.
You know what that is, the good things of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I want to, again, thank pastors for inviting me, trusting me, and your pastors take such good care of me. They actually got me a hotel in the Chautauqua Suites even a day early. I came here Friday, that way I could pray and say, God, they've taken me out to lunch. They put so many good goodies, you know, that I'm going to have to fast and pray after these meetings, you know, and so, but, you know, the Bible says you take care of the ones that Jesus sends, that's like taking care of him. And so let's just pray for a return on their generosity, and primarily in the meetings, the prophet's reward, and just to get everything the Lord has for us this morning, tonight, and tomorrow night. Praise the Lord. Also, Pastor made mention of Pastor Nancy going on TBN in Russia, and she said that she doesn't know any Russian. Any of you know any Russian? All right, I've come to help you. Spogum. Say spogum.
Spogum.
Now you know Russian. If you're in Russia, you say spogum, you know what they're going to say? Spogum back. It's like, hi, hello. How about this? Spokojna noichi. It almost sounds Spanish. Spokojna noichi. Okay, and that's a greeting, you know, like God be with you, if I remember correctly. How do I know about 10 to 12 languages, just enough to be dangerous. Now, I need to qualify, I know about one or two words in each language. And I'm still trying to learn English myself, praise the Lord. But it's fun to say that, you know, especially, you know, my organization is Family Church International. And I preach quite often in Canada. And so when folks ask me, I've been out of the country, you know, and they're thinking, oh, the Europe, Asia, Africa, and so forth. And so, you know, Canada, but still out of the country. So it's just a matter of how you say things, praise the Lord. But again, I'm so honored and delighted to be with you. And always, whenever I step into a family church, I like to give the spiritual history of the church and especially of the pastor. And you'll hear me say this again and again, why faith comes by hearing and hearing. And the Apostle Paul said he was not disobedient to heaven. And he talked about his visions and his revelations every place he went. And I operate in more than just the office of pastor. And one of them is given to visions and revelations. And I remember talking with, at the time, Pastor Jeff's pastor. Of course, he's still Pastor Jeff's pastor, Pastor Tim. And Pastor Jeff had just made mention to him about a call of God on his life. And Pastor Tim doubted it, you know, not because God couldn't use him, but he knew Pastor Jeff. Pastor Jeff is very much like me, that we qualify where God says God takes the foolish things to confound the wise, you know. We have no natural credentials to be doing what we're doing. You know, they wanted to put me in speech therapy. You know, they thought something was wrong with me as a child and so forth. And so he was concerned, you know, because, you know, I trained Pastor Tim. Now he's responsible to train Pastor Jeff. And he doesn't know if this is even possible, if God could even do this. And, you know, and I thought nothing about that. But sometime later, I got caught up in a vision. And we were at Family, you know, even though I was in Fredonia, my spirit went to Family Church Jamestown. So I have a traveling ministry that way as well. And I saw a bunch of our ministers and those that we mentor and train, leaders, you know, potential leaders. And I saw that they were like in a hurdle in a little crowd talking amongst themselves. And I stood far off, and the audible voice of the Holy Ghost in the vision said, "Who is going to be the next pastor in the family churches?" Something along that line. And I looked at the crowd. I don't know. you know. And he said it again. And then I said, "Thou knowest." And he did it three times. I said, "Lord, I have no idea," out of those folks. And just after I said, I don't know, then the crowd opened up. And there stood your pastors right in the middle there. And it was just a divine confirmation that the hand of God is on him, that he is anointed to be a pastor and to do the work of God. Now, why do I say that? Number one, to let you know that your pastor is not ordained of men or something we thought of a good idea. Let's see, Pastor Jeff, what can we do with him? Let's put him in James, put him in Corey, let's put him over in Mayville. No, this is of the Holy Ghost. You know, when Paul went into ministry, he was sent forth by the Holy Ghost. He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I've called them to. So it was a divine sending forth. And so your pastors are divinely sent forth to pastor here and to do the work of God. So I say that as an encouragement to know that you're hooked up to someone who's following God's plan. And if you're hooked up with them, you're in the center of God's word and will, and God's going to do great and mighty things in this church through the pastor and through this church. And so we're excited just to have a little part of it. And before I go on, is there anybody here you have never heard me speak before? Anybody? Okay. Oh, there's one. Okay. All right. There's a couple. All right. I know you don't want to. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you. I just wanted to warn you. Please, please do not judge this church. Do not say, man, this is the worst sermon I ever heard. I'm not the pastor here, I'm a guest. And so if you don't like anything I say, yeah, I probably would agree with you, but come back next week and hear the pastors. If you want to be blessed, you come and hear Pastor Jeff. If you want to be really blessed, you come and hear Pastor Renee. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word?
Yes.
If you have your Bibles this morning, please open them to the book of 2 Corinthians. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want to encourage you to bring your Bible and to open your Bible whenever the pastor says, yes, you know, turn. I know they may have the scripture on the overhead screen, but let me help you again. The reason I refer to these things is the Holy Ghost doesn't do anything just for entertainment purposes.
Right.
When he shows you something, when he reveals something, it's for a purpose. When he showed me your pastors, it's for a purpose. But I remember many years ago, I lived in a house that was just built after the Civil War. And, you know, those type of houses have a lot of maintenance. And I'm very picky when it comes to the yard. You know, I believe a yard is a reflection of the owner. So I tried to make my yards look very nice. At that time, I only had a 2.5-acre yard. I have over a 10-acre yard now. And so, but when it comes to the front, I'm so picky, I didn't want a riding mower to do it. I did it by hand, you know, because I love the straight angles and so forth, and you can really do some neat designs if you do it right. And so I just remember that I was mowing the grass, mind own business. I wasn't even praying. And all of a sudden, I have a vision cutting the grass. I never had one since. I tried many times to cut the grass again, and it didn't come. And I saw in my church, some of my leaders were coming to church without their Bibles. Because, you know, we would have the scriptures on there. And I knew that the Holy Ghost was showing me that he wasn't exactly pleased with that. Now, again, that's not for everybody. He didn't, you know, and the new people, you know, where I went to church before I was born again, they discourage you from reading the Bible. So there's a learning curve. That's why you come to church and get your mind renewed. But a good, healthy habit is to bring your Bible. Why is that? That when you look in your Bible, number one, you become more skillful in finding verses. Number two, you become a participant in the service, not just a spectator. And number three, the Holy Ghost can take your participation and reveal things to you in a greater way than he could if you just simply listen without, you know, looking at your Bible. Is this true? Well, I was mentored by Kenneth E. Hagin. He was a nationally known minister that went home to be with the Lord several years ago. He used to have healing crusades throughout the nation in churches. And he would notice this, that people would come up over and over again for healing and not receive their healing or not receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he would encourage them, bring your Bible along, follow along. And sometimes they just wouldn't do it. And he said there was one guy, for almost 20 times, he laid hands on him for healing or the baptism the Holy Ghost didn't receive. But the time he brought his Bible and followed along, you know, faith comes by hearing. He was in a place to receive from the Word. And then when he came up, he was healed. And so it is a spiritual law. And so I want to encourage you. And don't get in condemnation and say, well, I didn't bring my Bible today. No, that's why I'm sharing these things, to help you. Because when you come to church, God just doesn't want you to come just to be entertained.
That's right.
He wants to help you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to strengthen you. And like Pastor prayed, that when you come, he wants you to leave with something you didn't have before. You know, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so we're going to look at the Word. I was praying about these meetings, and we had a great, great service in Corey, and we believe we'll just add on to that here this morning. And so let's go ahead and look at 2 Corinthians. I said all that just for you to find 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's start with verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so here the Word of God talks about a warfare or a battle that we are all engaged in. Now, what is very interesting is where this battle is taking place. You know, a lot of times you talk to Christians, well, I'm battling sickness, I'm battling sin, I'm battling the devil. But here it talks about a battle that is taking place in our mind. And I truly believe some of the greatest struggles we as Christians have aren't with things outwardly that are happening, but most of it has to do with us in here. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And that's why we come to church, not just to hear a message, but to have our minds renewed. Romans chapter 12 says this, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not the removing, the renewing of your mind. And the word transform is, in the Greek, is the word we get metamorphosis. And I have Greek commentaries I studied in Greek. And one Greek study, it says this metamorphosis, this word, is the transformation that takes place like a caterpillar to a butterfly. And that's a big change. I remember one time, you know, when we were kids, you know, we didn't have Game Boys, we didn't have Atari, we didn't have TV, and we used to have, you know, the old black and white TV that you had to turn by hand, and the rabbit ears and stuff like that. And so, you know, and it only really came on at night. And so during the day, we played, and we had forts, and we would make forts in the woods. And a lot of times we like to dig ponds, you know, and let the rainwater, then maybe if we got lucky, a frog would get in there, and we'd have a pet frog. Well, this happened, and a frog found it, and we had a pet frog. And I remember one time, there was a caterpillar going right outside the pond. And of course the frog peeks up in the water and sees that caterpillar. And of course that caterpillar can't go very fast. I mean, if it was hurrying, you just don't know. I couldn't tell if it was slow. And it was going, and the frog gets out of the water and hops and snags up that caterpillar. And he swallows it, then all of a sudden spits it out because it was all furry and goes back in there. Why did I bring that up? Well, a caterpillar can't go very fast, very far. And it didn't even make very good frog food. And that's our life outside of Jesus. You know, we just can't seem to get where we need to go. No matter how fast we try to do things, we're limited because of who we are, our spiritual nature, our wrong thinking. And Jesus wants to take us from that caterpillar, where we're subject to being chewed up by the devil and spit out, and life spits us out, And we know what happens. It goes in a cocoon, and all of a sudden gets out of that cocoon, and it becomes this beautiful butterfly. I've never seen an ugly butterfly. And a big thing about butterflies, they're not bound by the ground. What would take hours for a caterpillar is just a matter of minutes, flying beautifully, you know, soaring in the air. And that's our life in Jesus, our life in Christ. And when you're born again, Christ, Jesus, is in you. Everything Jesus is, everything Jesus has, is yours. And the Bible says, as He is, so are we in this world. God's plan for you is to fully walk and enjoy life like He did. He is in you, and He wants that same life to shine out of you. But there's one thing in the way. It's called your mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. And see, your mind is really the steering wheel of your being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you don't need to turn there. It tells us that we are a triune being. We're made up of three parts. We know this, that we are a spirit being. That's the part of us that got born again. That's the part of us that has the life and nature of Jesus. That's the part of us that every good thing, that's the part of us we're exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think is potentially ours. And so that is brand new. That's something God did. But how many know when you got born again, you have the same mind and you certainly have the same body? I sure wish we would have got a brand new mind when we got born again, and definitely a new body. Praise the Lord. But how many know one day we will, when we get that glorified body? You know, first thing I'm going to do is like double backflips. Then I'm going to walk through water, you know, walk through walls, walk on water, breathe underwater, and travel at the speed of thought. So you don't want to miss that for the world, you know. And so, but in this life, you have to understand that Jesus provided everything for you to live in total victory, to live this life. But see, we have a mind, and unless we renew the mind, like Romans chapter 12 says, we will have Jesus on the inside of us, so full of potential, and we will live our life just like every other lost person and fall short of all that God has for us. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think if we will renew our minds to what the Word says. And so that's why the mind is a very crucial area in our Christian walk. And it's a steering wheel. We know this, a steering wheel in the car. You have an engine, right? That powers the thing. You have a body, you know, that you sit in it. And that's important too, you know. But the steering wheel determines where everything goes. And see, being our spirit is that motor. We're meant to soar. We're meant to reign in life by Christ Jesus. It wants to run. It wants to go. It wants to bless humanity. It wants to give. It wants to believe. And we have a body. You know, some of us have classic bodies. Some of us have muscle cars. Yeah, and some of us have economy cars. You know, different shapes and so forth. You can't judge a car by exterior. You always look in the engine, you know. And so, you know, liking that. But there's that steering wheel. See, you can have a classy old car like a 57 Chevy. Anybody born in 57 that don't want? Yeah, classic. I mean, wow. You know, that's the beautiful thing about cars. The older they are, especially if you keep them up, man. That looks great. So you guys are vintage. I'm getting there. But how many of you know a classy 57 Chevy, it ought to be grabbing attention, you know, down, you know, it ought to be in sport car shows and you know, town, you know, car, you know, clubs and stuff like that. But what if someone who owns that decides, oh no, I'm going to use this as a tractor. I'm going to haul my wood in it. I'm going to go bag my deer, you know, tie it on top. I'm going to drive it through the fields and so forth. Here, because whoever drove that thing had the wrong thinking, is misusing a beautiful piece of machinery. They don't know what it's for. They don't know what they should be doing with it. And so many times we as Christians, we're like that. We just naturally think like everyone else. Like we think like my daddy and mommy thought, like Uncle Susie. Now, that's something. If I would have said that 50 years ago, people say, I misspoke. And today he says, yeah, I have an Uncle Susie. Yeah, I have an Aunt Tom, you know, that type of thing. Yeah. But the mind is so important. The only thing that is stopping you in victory is your mind. The only thing stopping you from success is your mind. You have everything you need to win in this life.
Amen.
It's on the inside of you, Christ in you. And here, it talks about the importance of the mind because of that steering wheel. And see, if your mind is unrenewed, your mind is going to do what your body wants. It's going to do what the world wants. It'll do the way you just now think. And because we are fallen creatures, it will always get us in the ditch.
That's right.
But if you'll learn to steer your mind, renew your mind, deciding with your spirit man where Jesus is, and think like a new creation, and think like a believer, that I tell you, God can take you further, farther, and He can bless you more than you can ask or think. And so it's not something trying to get God to do something. God has already placed it on the inside of you. And the only thing He needs you to do is to get this thing agreeing to what He says, to what's on the inside of you. And so this verse talks about a warfare that is going on. Because whoever has that steering wheel controls the car. And God wants to help you steer that car right. To steer it into the plan and purpose of God. Steer into the blessings of God. But there's also someone in the world, another spiritual being called the devil. Yeah. You know, we don't magnify him, but it is true. And we talked a little bit about that in the Corey church. And he wants to get by the steering wheel.
Yeah.
He wants to drive your vehicle in the field. He wants to drive in a ditch. He wants you to abuse your body. He wants you to fall short of all God's blessings and benefits. And so God wants the steering wheel and the devil wants the steering wheel. And that's why God wants us to renew our mind, to think like Him, get in His Word and steer that thing right. But also the devil wants to come in. And here it talks about a battle that goes on in our mind. And some folks have misinterpreted these verses and thought this is talking about a spiritual warfare over cities, over nations. And it says, I break the stronghold over Mayville. You know, there are some things in prayer like that, but this is not what these verses are talking about. How do we know this? Well, it tells us. Notice in verse 5, casting down imaginations. I'm reading down the key. Where do imaginations happen? We understand imaginations. All right. If you don't know what imagination is, close your eyes. Think of a pink elephant with a blue umbrella with a monkey sitting on top of the elephant. You saw that picture, right? That's your imagination. Did you see it out here somewhere? No. Here.
Yeah.
Your imagination. So these strongholds it's talking about have to be in the mind too. And again, how do we know it's the mind? Bringing every thought to the beings of Christ. Now again, this is going to be a hard question. Where do thoughts take place? Out here somewhere? Here. And so, in these verses we learn something. That thoughts lead to imaginations. And imaginations lead to strongholds. Now, what is a stronghold? Is anything that has a stronghold in your life? It can be positive or negative. Now, what are some strongholds? Do you know folks that are bound with fear? They fear things. And that fear has such a strong hold on them that they won't do certain things. They won't go, like a fear of flying or a fear of travel, a fear of the dentist, whatever. You know, there's fears. And the fear is so strong and God has such a grip on them that it controls their life. And what is that? Fear in the driving wheel. And it is controlling a person's destiny. That's a stronghold. But here it tells us, how did that stronghold get there? And the same way that stronghold got there is the same way you can bring that stronghold down. Well, we already told you the answer. How does fear get a stronghold in a person's life? It leads, first of all, it comes in as a thought of fear. Then if that thought of fear does not go unchallenged, it leads to imagination, to imagine that fear. Imagine your kids dying. Imagine your house being in foreclosure, whatever it is. And you begin to imagine and picture it. And if that goes unchecked, eventually it has such a grip, such a strong hold on you that it governs your life. And this is the battlefield of the mind. We could say it this way. Thoughts are seeds looking to produce a harvest in your life. A thought of fear, it comes, you know, people think it's just a natural part of life, it's a part of their being. But really what it is Satan bringing a seed that he wants to produce a harvest in life. So he suggests the thought in your mind, and your mind is the ground. And if you allow that thought to fester and to grow, just like a seed will start to take root, it'll lead to imagination. You'll begin to picture that thing. What is that? That is the buds, you know, the stems growing. It is starting to mature that seed. And if that's allowed to grow and you continue to meditate, it becomes such a stronghold, it starts bearing fruit.
That's right, Pastor.
In your life.
Yeah.
And all of us, if we're honest, have seen the positives and the negatives of that harvest in our life. And the beautiful thing about coming to church, the beautiful thing of sitting under a pastor and getting the word, is that we can identify, man, this thing is a stronghold in my life and it ought not to be there. That thing needs to come down. That needs to be rooted out. And, you know, in that way, if we get that stronghold out behind the driver's seat, something else can be in its place. Now, the same thing is in the positive. That's why we tell you to get promises of God, feed on them and think on them, and think the Word of God. What? If you're thinking the Word of God, those are seeds. You begin to imagine. Yeah, I imagine myself blessed. I imagine myself healed. As a man thinking, I see myself walking in the wisdom. I see myself as a successful business person. I see myself having a job and being debt-free. Whatever it is that the Word promises you, you begin to think that, imagine that, and eventually it becomes a stronghold that every action of yours leads to success. You start walking like a Jesus man or a Jesus woman. Okay? And so it all starts with the seed. Again, what is the seed? The thoughts. Now, the Word of God says something here pretty amazing about this process. Let's read verse 5 again. Casting down imaginations. And notice this, every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And it tells us to bring into captivity every thought to the beings of Christ. So we know what thoughts are. But here it says, every thought that comes to your head You're to hold it captive. Now, when I was growing up, this may date me. Some younger folks may not know what I'm talking about. But we used to watch a show called MASH. How many remember MASH? And I hate to go here, but Corporal Klinger. He would do well in our society today. He might be a spokesperson for many groups. But he did that to try to get out of the Army, and it didn't work, and just add to the comedy. You know, it was clean fun, you know, and so forth. But I just remember these pictures watching the show, and, you know, he would do something, and so he would get guard duty. And so he'd be in his dress with his rifle and his helmet, sometimes with a cigar, and someone would come into the camp, and he'd go, "Halt, who goes there? Or friend or foe?" And see, MP's job was to scrutinize, to interrogate everyone going into the camp.
Yeah.
If he was supposed to be in the camp and he's authorized, let him in. If it was an enemy or someone's not authorized, kept him out. You understand that?
Yeah.
That's what you have to do in your mind.
Yes.
Notice it says every thought. And so the key to victory, the key to have in bad strongholds rooted out and establishing good, godly strongholds starts with your thinking. Every thought that comes into your head, you need to go like this, not with the dress, but halt, who goes there?
Yeah.
And you need to scrutinize that thought. You need to say, and it says, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
And so what does it say? What you have to do with your thoughts is, when that thought comes, what does the Bible say about that thought? You judge that thought by the Word of God.
Yeah.
And if it's a godly thought, if it lines up the Word, that can get planted. I can think on this.
Yeah.
I want that to grow in my life. But if that thought does not line up with the Word, then the Bible says that you need to hold it captive. It says, no, I forbid myself to think on that thought.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, this is the key to your victory.
Yes.
And to be honest, this is where our biggest struggle is.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times we think it's our spouse. It's our children. It's the job. It's the finances. You know, it's all these things we're believing God for. And man, if just all my ducks would be in a row, I would have peace. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation.
Yes.
But in me, you will have peace.
Yes.
See, your thinking is wrong.
That's right.
Job said this, at destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on, my kids aren't doing right. My job, I think I might be losing my job. Yes, I got my third notice that my payment is due. You know, those things don't produce peace, but what? Fear and worry. And see, when those thoughts come, what are you going to do? You got to answer those thoughts with the Word of God. My God shall supply all my needs. I refuse to fret. I refuse to worry. I refuse to be afraid. And in the world I may have tribulation, but in Him I have peace. He has prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So I can have joy, victory, and peace when my kids aren't doing right, when my job is, you know, in jeopardy, when my house payment is due. You can have total victory in all these things. And see, the more we think right, the more we'll speak right, the more we'll believe right, and the more that our life will be right. So every thought has to be captive. And I think the greatest area that we all have to deal with, you know, looking at my, is in the area of worry.
Yes.
That's right.
Now, I would turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. I would ask for a show of hands, but I've been in ministry 30 years. Not everyone will raise their hand even though it's them. You know, you could say, how many of you are alive and only 30% would raise their hand. How many are dead? Someone would raise their hand. And some of them, they won't raise their hand for anything, you know. So I've learned not to do that. But if we're honest, and this is the thing, you know, there's many areas to take this. But the thing that was on my heart, the first thing you have to deal with in your mind is the area of worry. And now we're going to look at the Word, what the Word says, and how to win the battle of mind when it comes to worry. Because the worry is based in fear. And worry is torment. If you've ever worried about someone or something, was that a blessed feeling?
No.
Do you go, man, I just wish I could worry more?
Yeah, come on.
You go on Facebook, do any of you have anything you want me to worry for? About you. I love to worry. I'm a grand chap. I'm a worry warrior. Sign me up. I'll do your worrying for you. There is no such ministry. You know, whenever we're worried, I mean, it affects our mood, affects our appetite. It affects everything. It is a robber of our peace and joy. And this is something that we must deal with. In Philippians 4, in verse 6, I'm going to read out of King James. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You know, we read that and, you know, maybe you're on a Bible reading program, you read that and say, oh, that's nice, and pass over it. But you know, the Bible wasn't meant just to be read. It was meant to be lived.
Yes. That's so good.
And here it says, be careful for nothing. Now, that's a little blind to us. Because when I grew up, my mama, when I go to my friend's house and we'd go play sports or do things that boys did, she would always say, be careful. And so the way Mama meant it is not the same way the Bible means it. Mama meant just, you know, don't hurt yourself, that type of thing. You know, look both ways before you cross the street, you know, taking care of yourself. But this word here is not talking about taking care of yourself. A better translation is anxiety,
yes.
Worries, concerns.
Yes.
And here it says, be troubled, or we could say this, be troubled or be worried. Now, very interesting, for nothing. Now, what is nothing?
Nothing.
Zero. Zilch. Nothing. Have you ever meditated on that? How many of you know the Bible says, thou should not kill? Right? There really isn't any wiggle room. Well, a little bit of killing on weekends is all right. I once in a while I kill, you know, but God knows my heart, you know. He understands. You know, everyone's got to kill once in a while. No, really, there's no wiggle room on killing. Thou shalt not kill.
Notice what he
says, be careful or be worried, be troubled, be anxious for nothing. Zilch. Nothing qualifies. It is worthy of you fretting and worrying about it. Nothing. But we, being creatures, we try to find loopholes, wiggle room, or we just don't know. And we think certain things qualify for us to worry. All right? I'm going to hit you in low blow. How many here are parents? One of the greatest things for a parent not to worry about is their children.
Right. Yeah.
I mean daily.
Yeah.
Daily. Boom. Because, you know, parents, you want to protect them. You want them to do right. And maybe they're not seeing things quite right, and man, thoughts come, and man, you try to be Mr. Fix-It, and you make it worse, and you're not sleeping because you're in the nighttime thinking about your kids.
Yes.
If you don't have kids yet, your time's coming. But the Bible says, be careful, be troubled, be worried for nothing. That includes your kids. Do you know it is a sin to worry? You know it is a sin to be upset, to be fret, to be concerned like that. Now, it doesn't mean that we're callous, but we should never be troubled for anything. Now, well, that's impossible. No, it isn't. I already told you how you do it. What is worry? Here, you told your kids to be home at 10 o'clock. It's 10:03. They've been in a car accident. They're off doing drugs. You know the drill.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Thoughts come. What do you do about those thoughts? Well, I better call them. I got to find out. And we act on those thoughts. We're doing the suggestion of the devil. We're trying to fulfill his will in your life. But the word says, be careful for nothing. So what do you got to do? Thought of worry? Oh, my kids, you know, they're in a car accident. No doubt in a car accident. I'm careful for nothing. Oh, I recognize you. You're fearing. I refuse to worry.
Yes.
My children are kept by the power of God. Yes. That I refuse to allow this in my life. And I cast you out, worry, in the name of Jesus. And you know what happens? 2 seconds later. If they're not in a car accident, they're out smoking dope and they're in the police station. You know, bam. After thought. And what do you have to do? Bringing into captivity every thought. Well, I did it 2 times and it kept bothering me, so I just gave in. Every thought. Be careful for nothing. Now, why does it seem overwhelming? Because you've been in a rut and you've been an easy prey for the devil. For those of you that worry, and maybe your grandma was a worrier, your mama was a worrier, they no doubt put a lot of seeds in worrying you, and so they prepared the soil.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to spend a little more time weeding that out. By every thought that comes in, I refuse to worry.
Yes.
And have you ever been, you know, we're in Western New York, you ever been stuck in the snow or in the mud?
Yeah.
You know, if you get stuck, you just spin your wheels. In order to get out, you got to get someone in back, and you got to rock it. Now, you don't want to go behind the drive wheel, especially if it's mud. Don't ask me how I know that. I've helped many of my friends that way. Yeah. Oh my. See if I help you again. But you actually got to do quite a bit of work because you're stuck. But you can get out with the mud. If you keep working it back and forth, eventually you get on top and things become easier. For some of you that have been in a rut with worry, in a rut with fear, it just seems like you're spinning your wheels and you just keep at it.
Right.
You need to understand when Satan came to Jesus, Jesus responded, "Get behind me, Satan. It is written, Satan." He kept coming, but eventually Satan departed when Jesus didn't give in to his thoughts and suggestions.
So
see, the Bible says, having done all to stand. Thoughts come, say, no, I resist that in the name of Jesus. I will not worry. I will not fear. 2 seconds later, no, I resist that. Fear, I will not worry. And it'll keep coming. And the Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
How do you resist him? With the word. But yet the greatest area is in your mind. And you have to be strong, brothers and sisters. The reason people don't have victory and don't have peace is simply they have wrong seeds being planted in their mind and being harassed. All right. Remember I had that house? Built after the Civil War, a lot of maintenance. There was a pine tree. It was an old farmhouse, and we had a circular driveway. They were very popular back then. You know, you drive in, you can go behind the house and onto the road. So a big U in the house was right there, if you understand that. And so we would park. Our entrance was in the back, and there's this big pine tree. And every year, a robin has nested in that pine tree, right where I park my car. I park it right outside. And you know, when a robin nests, he's on there. So when they got to do their business, they don't go use the latrine. They drop it straight down. And I always liked my cars looking nice. And then I'd wake up in the morning and there'd be a big pile of poo on my car. Stinky, yucky. Well, I have a choice here. I can either take out the robin, which is illegal, and I won't do that. Plus, with babies, they have that on my conscience. Or I can move my vehicle from under the pooping station. Okay? See, too many times, people, I've just been a pooping station for every thought. Their kids, the worry about the money, the economy, what's going to happen here. And just poop, and their life stinks. Yeah. And people around them want to be, and they're just so down. Oh, Pastor, pray for me. You know, everything is so doom gloom. All right, some of you are not getting it. You're acting like Eeyore. Oh, things aren't going right, but thanks for noticing me. Yeah, we love Eeyore, but you don't want to live like Eeyore. You want to be like Tigger, wonderful Tigger. You need to have a bounce in your step and a smile on your face. Well, how do you do that? In your mind. You have to purpose to guard your thoughts. Now, let's how much time? Okay, I'll start saying this. I'm fixing the clothes now. And you know what that means. Absolutely nothing. That means I got another half an hour before I even think about closing. Let's look at this. Be troubled for nothing. The Amplified says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Another translation says, do not be anxious or worried about anything. The Weiss translation, stop worrying about even one thing. The basic English, have no cares. God's word translation is never worry about anything. What if you get a bad report from the doctor and says you have cancer? How many know thoughts will come to your mind? But the word says be careful for nothing except cancer. Nothing. Now, why is it so important we deal with this worry, this fear? Because fear is faith in Satan's ability. You know, you hear Pastor talk about the Word of God, to have faith, that when we pray, believe that we receive that. Faith is believing in God's ability. And when we believe in God's ability, God can work in our behalf. But when we're afraid, we're worried, we're distressed or something, we are showing that we have faith in the devil's ability. And when we release fear and anxiety, that gives Satan a right to bring that to pass in your life. Can this be? It is a law. Now, I just have a New Testament here. But listen to this. You ever heard about the story of Job? Poor old Job. Now, if you read the Bible, he ain't no poor. Job was the richest man in the country. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. Not God. Satan came, killed, and steal, and destroy. Lost everything. Then he repented of the way he was thinking. He prayed for his friends, and God gave him double. He had a bad 9 months of his life. That's pretty good. He lived to be like 170 years old, or even more than that. So 9 months out of 170 ain't bad. But he was very, very wealthy. You know, and so it is in poor old Job. But there's been a lot of debate concerning the book of Job. And if you're religious in thinking, meaning religious that you have your own thoughts, Bible thoughts, and folks said, well, God did that to Job to teach him lessons. God did that to keep him humble. God did that to just to prove a point. But the book of Job tells us plainly why Satan could rob, steal, and destroy from Job. What is it? Well, out of Job's own mouth. Job 3:25, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." See, what fear is? It's faith in Satan's ability. When we're worried about anything, we're putting our trust in the devil and not in God. And if we continue to worry and be afraid and be troubled because we have faith in the devil's ability, that gives Satan a right to start bringing that thing to pass. See, when you understand these spiritual laws, you can see you don't want to touch fear. You don't want to touch worry. You don't want to be troubled for anything. And the good thing is you don't have to.
Amen.
You don't need to be afraid because God's not giving you a spirit of fear. But I'm so afraid. Yes, it's a stronghold. How do you get rid of a stronghold? You start going back to the thoughts. What have you been thinking on? There is no one that's been afraid. No one's been depressed. You know, I just think lovely thoughts all day and I'm depressed. No. You go back, they were thinking wrong. People are afraid, they're thinking wrong. They're worried about their kids. They're worried about the come. They're worried about the money. And see, we need to really squash. We need to uproot any seeds of fear in our life. This is serious business, folks. We want God working, not the devil working. And so be careful for nothing. And it gives us some marching orders. That means any thought that comes, I hold captive and no, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to think on that. I refuse to fear. I refuse to worry. You got to keep it outside. You don't want it coming inside. But it gives us some archery. Now, in everything, in prayer and supplication, with your thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So a thought comes, nope, I'm not going to think that. I take it captive. And the Bible says here, now pray. Now, Father, you see that. I'm tempted to worry about my kids. I'm tempted about worried about my situation at work. I'm tempted to worry. As you know, my mortgage is due and I don't have the money. I'm tempted to worry about it, but you told me not to worry about it.
Yeah.
And so, Father, if you told me not to worry about it, that means you have a solution for it. And so, Father, your word says this, you'll supply all my needs. And so, Father God, right now, I know the devil's trying to get me worried about that situation with the mortgage, but I look to you. Father, you supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. I thank you. I'm fully funded in Jesus' name. Now you're getting your mind on him and on the devil. Now, after you prayed that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a smile on your face for about 3 seconds. And all of a sudden, but what are you going to do? It's still there. I don't see paid on that bill. It's still there. Then what you got to do is say, no, I refuse to worry. I do not allow you into my life. And Father, I just thank you. You supply all of my... And what are you doing? You're planting the Word of God. You're planting seeds. You're imagining, man, it's so good to have my mortgage paid. I don't know how to call it paid in Jesus' name. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. So I qualify for that. And it's not my job to figure it out. It's my job to believe you, God. And I believe you, God.
Amen.
And then you have a smile for about 5 seconds. And the devil says, but I don't see it paid. And so you keep that out. Now, we saw this last week. Satan loves a good fight because he knows he'll try to wear you out. Because we want it gone in 2 times, 3 times. But, I mean, sometimes it's wrong. It's there. Bam, bam, bam. But when it seems like it's overwhelming and can't get into that place of peace, that there's where you become, instead of defense, You go into offense mode. You know the difference? Defense is blocking.
Right.
You're praying, you're blocking. And if that seems not to be getting the job done, then you go into offense. How do you go into offense? Well, it tells you in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And so you're tempted to worry about your mortgage, your kids. You say, no, I refuse to worry. God, you said this, great. My children are taught, Lord, great is the peace of my children. I thank you. I train the way they should go. They'll not depart. I thank you. I'm not moved by what it looks like. They're not departing from it. And the devil just keeps huffing and puffing, trying to blow your house down. Now you blow his house down. You told God stuff like that, and then you start, glory to God. My God supplies all of my need. Father, thank you. And you start praising God in his presence. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. See, a lot of people don't want to rejoice until the enemies are gone. No, you need to rejoice while they're there and make them watch you. Make them watch you. Thank you, Father, for supplying all my needs. Glory to God. And you know, and then you stop, then he's going to jump and try to get on there. And so you just get back praising God. Father, thank you. Every time I thank you, you're supplying my needs. Glory to God. The word's working. God's doing miracles for me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then Satan will start to say something. And glory to God. And then if he continues to persist, then you get really serious. So, Mr. Devil, you're trying to get me worried about my kids, worried about my mortgage, worried about this, worried about that. You're the one that ought to be worrying. You're the even if I don't do a good job in this earth and I check out, I go into glory. And I experience the glory of God. And God says the ages to come, he's going to show his goodness, how good he's going to be. For eternity, every day, I'm going to be amazed how God good to me. For all eternity of love, joy, peace, total victory. I mean, I have the best retirement package in the world. And your story's in the book too. That a big old angel is going to round up your master and all of you. And you're going to be thrown into a pit. Forever, endeavor, 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 endeavor. And about that time, he's left. And I said, no, you come back here. You've been tormenting me. I'm tormenting you. Forever, endeavor, endeavor. Then I sing a little song. Forever, I'm in heaven. Forever, I'm blessed. Forever, you're in torment. Ha, ha, ha. And I sing real bad to make him hear it. See, you don't need to be a victim of his. You stand up to him, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You are authorized total victory. Again, the big thing with the devil, and I am fixing to close. I told this last night. You remember the Wizard of Oz? We're off to see the wizard. You know, as you know, singing is not my forte. Not too many things are my forte. But they stand before the wizard. There's this big scream. I am the Wizard of Oz. And they're afraid. And especially the lion with no courage. And the tin man with no heart. And the straw man, like many people, with no brain. I have Facebook. That's all I know. Yeah. And as long as the wizard can project, I'm going to get you. I'm big and powerful. They're afraid, and would succumb to the whims of the wizard. But we know the story. Toto comes in and opens up the veil, and the powerful wizard is a powerless little man. See, the devil is powerless over you. The reason he's got you, in your mind is a screen, and he's painted these things, and you believed it, and he's intimidated you with fear. But if you keep that fear out and you know the truth, that veil is removed, and the prince of this world comes, he has nothing on you. You don't need to be afraid of him. He's afraid of you. God always causes you to triumph. You are more than a conqueror.
That's right.
You should never have a sad day in your life. You should always wake up and say, I am looking for trouble today. You know, when we wake up, the devil ought to be saying, oh my God, I've got a migraine already. But too many times he's there and thoughts, and we're just like that, my car, pooping station. Just poop, poop, poop. And then we go to work. I'm just all poopy and smelly. I'm so down. Pray for me. I don't know what's going wrong. I go to church and God just don't love me. Get from out of the poop. Get that stink out of your life. Stinking thinking leads to stinking living. Your neighbors are right. Your relatives are right. It's all in your head. You are more than a conqueror. So, right here, bringing every thought captive. I showed you how, every thought, and replace it with the Word of God. And you just be tenacious, you keep standing up to it, and if it keeps going, you just start praising God. And if you need to, just start laughing. Yeah. If you're oppressed and heavy, just laugh. Yes. Ha, ha, ha. I've been places that I was devastated. Can I tell you one story?
Yes.
I'm fixing to close number 3. All right. I'm closing with this. This stuff works. All right. I used to drive to Tulsa to hear Brother Hagin. I would take my vacation time and go, and I would save up my money. I didn't get paid vacation. I'd save up all my money to drive to Tulsa, Oklahoma to hear Brother Hagin. That's my vacation time. So I'd get a week and a half off, and I would go to hear Brother Hagin. I did this for years. Of course, he taught faith. And in one camp meeting, just faith rose and says, you know, bless God, next year I'm going to fly down here and I'm going to take a rental car and I'm going to go first class like that. And so that was a faith project. So I started saving my money, believing. And next year's camp meeting, I had a plane ticket. And, you know, I called the rental car company. Now, I was probably only 23 years old at the time. And I called, made arrangements for the rent a car, and they quoted me a price. Yeah, and so I had the money. You know, and I was all set. And so, you know, I fly. I got in that, I think it was American Airlines. Got to Tulsa, man, I am faith man. I had a spring in my step. Man, I believe God. And, you know, and I grab my luggage and I go over to the rent a car. Reservation for Michael Luketic, please. Amen. Look at my, back then, wavy hair and my cape. Faith man. And then they said, it'll be this amount. I said, no. They quoted me this amount. It says, yes, but you're under 25 years old. You're required to have this insurance in collision, and it was 3 times the price. And that's what happened. My feathers fell. Because I had money for the offerings. I was going to pay everything in cash. And all of a sudden, the mean devil across the counter stole my joy.
Come on.
You know, this is where I was. Yeah. And you know, because of the battery, you know, I'm thinking, I believe God. And now the rental car is getting all my money. I'm not going to have money. I wanted to sell into Brother Hagin. And, you know, now just a cloud came over me. Here I was faith man 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Oh, can I tell you 2 stories?
Yes.
After this, remind me, spider. Remind me, spider. That's code spider. And so I'm here. I was faith man. And also my feather because of thought. And so, when you go to Tulsa, from the airport to where I was staying at 71st Street, everything's a mile. It's 11th Street, 21st Street, 31st Street, 41st, 51st, 61st, 74th. And so the first 11th to 21st, you know, I'm down. You know, poor old me. I say, and that mean old rent-a-car company, I just didn't know, and I don't have any money. I was fretting, worrying, upset. Then about, he says, I'm going to camp meeting. I was taught faith, and I'm crying like a little baby. I know better than this. So at 31st Street, I said, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I'm driving. Hallelujah. He always causes me to triumph. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then, you know, I get to 41st. And then you wait for the light. And then, you know, after a while it kicks in. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then I go to 50. Man, something's coming on me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And at 61st Street, I kid you not, I am not lying, I am jumping up and down my car. Hallelujah. I'm feeling great. I feel better than I did when I got the report. Hallelujah. And the people in the other cars are looking. Okay. Yeah. See, the devil will try to take something to get you down. That's not where you belong. You are seated in heavenly places. You are always the devil's master. And the great way is laughing and rejoicing until that thing is broken off of you. See, it's all in your head. Now, I am closing with this. You edged me on. Around camp meeting. I go to camp meeting. I don't think it was this particular trip. Man, I could tell you stories. But anyway. Man, stories. But let's abbreviate this. We were staying in a hotel that in this hotel, they had this great rate, $25 a night for 3 beds in a big room. And of course, it's in the dark side of town. And there's businesses going on in the other rooms. You know what I'm talking about? People knocking and da-da-da. People, and they're, you know, we don't want to get to the other kind of noises and stuff like that. But that's where we were. That's where our faith was. And so I was just in camp meeting. And we just had a glorious service. It probably ended about 10:30. And so we are in the complex. It's dark, and in Oklahoma it's like 85 degrees at night, and I'm walking just fellowshipping with Jesus. Such a glorious, and so I said this to myself, I'm just going to fellowship with God till about midnight, then I'm going to go check into my door. And the motel, you know, they had several floors. We're in the bottom floor, and there's a walkway that's covered. And they had these, like a post and a Y that would hold up the second floor. You get the picture, you know. And there was one near our door, and there's a big spider web with a big ugly spider. Now, I know that because I'd be like this, closing my eyes, and I'd see, oh, there's my door, and there's this big ugly spider because they come out at night, big ugly ones. And, you know, when your mind is stayed on him, the Bible says you'll keep in perfect peace. His mind is stayed on him. And I tell you, I just felt God for an hour just worshiping after the service. I love you, Jesus. And then when I passed my thing, I'd see that big ugly spider go back on Jesus. Hallelujah. So it gets to be about midnight. And so I'm just caught up in heavenly places. And I see my door and I'm closing my eyes. Going to the door and all of a sudden I feel a cobweb on my face. And I picture this big, black, ugly spider. I go, ah! And you know what happened? God got scared and left me. I went from total joy, victory, and peace to panic, fear, and worry. Did God get afraid of the spider scared? No, my mind ceased to be on him and got on the situation. And that's what you need to do, brothers and sisters. If your mind is on the problem, you got big, black, ugly spider in your face, and it shows in your countenance. But you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Brothers and sisters, it's all in your head. Yeah.